Hey, welcome to the Victory Family Church podcast. Thanks for joining us today.
Today I want to share something with you that has such gravity on my heart as a pastor. There's a grieving that I have in my soul that I haven't had in ministry for 40 years. This June I'll have been in ministry 40 years. Again, I was three when I started too, But in 40 years, I've never been concerned as I have for God's people as I am right now. It's such a deep grieving. And as a pastor, this alarm is so real to me that I know I have a responsibility to serve you as a pastor well. And it's my heart's desire today to pastor you so well. Those of you in Newcastle, listen, I want to shepherd you through some things that are coming against God's people, whether you're online here in the Cranberry campus. It's my heart's desire, and I mean this with complete sincerity. If I could get on my knees and plead with you and beg you to open your heart today to my heart, and more importantly, what God's word says, I'd do it. If it would matter, I'd do it, because my heart's desperate to see what I see happening stop in the lives and hearts of God's people. Because what I want to share with you today is the outcome if it doesn't stop. And what I'm going to share with you isn't for just a handful here or a handful there. There's always been, you know, a percentage of God's people that are kind of, you know, growing in the Lord and kind of on the edge. And I'm not talking about just the normal growth development of God's people. I'm talking to you directly, not just about that. I'm talking to you about the reality of walking with God in such a way that this is like 50% that I'm sensing of God's people that literally are getting trapped right now. I've never had that in my heart before. And there's a desperation in me. And you'll see that there's things going on in people's lives where they're just so embittered right now. They do foolish things as a result because they're so full of rage and bitterness. And you're going to see more and more of it in the world in which we live. Now, we're to serve the world with all of our heart. And serve them as we do, like Jesus served them by laying down his life. But I'm not talking about those without Christ today. I'm talking about you today as a believer. And if you're not a child of God, that is, you've never accepted Christ into your life, today's still for you, because you're going to see the heart and the mercy of God in a way that I believe will revolutionize every part of every part of your life. The issues of the day, and this is the deal. The issues of the day, political issues. And let me stop and say this. Let me presume that if I name your issue, you're 100% right. You don't have anything to change. You are 100% right. We're rarely 100% right, but let's assume you are. For the sake of what I'm about to share to you, presume you're 100% right in your position. And whatever that position may be, for whatever issue it may be, just presume that you're in that place in your life. Okay? And so let me talk to you about some of the realities. We're in more political upheaval than I've ever seen in my life. We're seeing even more so very desperate and dangerous things happening where people are so full of rage. We are closer to a civil war than at any time in our history. And because people are enraged. And it isn't just those without Christ. It's God's people. Injustice, racism, the abortion issue, police brutality, police abuse. All of these things, the overreach of government, people concerned about the validity of our election structure. It goes on and on and on and on and on. And there's a trap that's been laid for you. The first thing I wanted to convey to you is the grief that I feel in my heart as a pastor. Pastoring's a lot like being a parent. Is that there's a love that you have for your children that just is put in you. And when you pastor, God puts a heart of love for people in you to care for and to shepherd. And just like as parents, when you're raising your children, pastoring is similar in that you're not feeding them with natural food, but you're feeding them a spiritual diet. And if you've been privileged to be a parent, you know this to be the case, particularly as your kids will get older. There are things that you know that if they'll hear you, they can miss some heartache. They can miss some bumps in the road. And when they don't, you grieve even more. But I want to help you today to step into some things that will free you from these traps. And the second thing that I want to focus on is the trap. And please don't hear this like I'm saying this and I'm not a part of the same struggle. Because we all have to deal with this. We all live in a world that wants to steal, kill, and destroy from the father of all lies. The kingdom of darkness wants to destroy my life, wants to destroy your life. And so the trap that I'm talking about is going to give you your title today, which it's kind of a weird title, but it'll make sense as we go along. And it's simply this: eating honey out of a dead carcass. Yeah, it's weird, huh? Eating honey out of a dead carcass. And I want to bring you into an understanding of where that came from. Most everybody, Christian or not, knows about Samson and Delilah. You remember the woman that he fell in love with who was not, she didn't walk with God. She had another nation, false god she served. And he gave her his heart and love and finally told her the secret of his strength. And she shaved his head and he was brutalized. It's a heartbreaking story. But I want to show you in that story of Samson what's happening and how it parallels right now with what I see happening, not in a handful of people. But and I would tell you, this is a sensing in my heart, just like a parent has a sensing about their kids, that I would suggest to you that I it may be higher than 50%. And when my hope is that when we get through this today, that God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, can revolutionize you and set you free if you're one of those that may be trapped in this arena. Samson was born miraculously. His mom was unable to conceive. And he was commanded, the mother was commanded, that he would take the vow of the Nazarite. And so the vow of the Nazarite, I won't go into it, but if you want for reference sake, it's in Numbers chapter 6, verse 1 through 21. There's a lot to it. But just basically, here's three of the main things. That if you take the vow of the Nazarite, it's assuming that you are being separated by God for a divine purpose. Now, you and I, we aren't called to take the vow of the Nazarite, but I want you to know that you've been separated into the kingdom of God for a divine purpose. Say out loud, a divine purpose. A divine purpose, you've been separated into God's kingdom. But the vow of the Nazarite, they would drink no wine or any alcohol. They were also required not to ever cut their hair. Then lastly, they were commanded never to touch a dead body or a carcass, ever. And if they failed, they were to shave their head and then deal with the failure. And I'll talk to you about that in a minute. But I want to kind of take you into the place of how Samson got trapped. And I want you to see that this is the same trap God's people are falling into right now. And it's a trap where we have more confidence in our own strength and another kingdom's methods than God's strength and the methods of the kingdom of God. And I want to help you to see that distinguishment today. Let me show you in Judges chapter 13, verse 2. This is the story of his birth and the vow. A certain man of Zorah named Manoah from the clan of the Danites had a wife who was sterile and remained childless. The angel of the Lord appeared to her and said, "You're sterile and childless, but you're going to conceive and have a son. Now see to it that you drink no wine or other fermented drink and that you do not eat anything unclean. But you will conceive and give birth to a son. No razor may ever be used on his head because the boy is to be a Nazarite set apart to God." Say it out loud. Set apart to God. From birth. Now, and he will begin the deliverance of Israel from the hands of the Philistine. I want you to see the purpose similar to the same purpose that was given Samson is given you as a Christian, is to bring deliverance to those that are trapped by the enemy. And that's your calling. But what we're doing in this culture today and what I'm seeing Christians do is we are not fighting battles in a kingdom way. We're fighting them the way the world fights them, and all we're doing is getting sucked into it. This past week, I was driving to one of the multiple prayer meetings that I'm doing. When I came back last October from the time that Michelle and I were privileged to spend away in the sabbatical, God really dealt with me when I came back to be given more to prayer and to do more prayer meetings with individuals. And I forget which one it was, but I was coming into a prayer meeting where we're going to pray. And on the way, the Holy Spirit's just dealing with my heart. And God wants to intimately talk to you, not because a message for people, but for you. And because there's so much that's going on around us. And let me presume your view and your opinion is right, okay? But we're fighting these battles in a way that absolutely will destroy people and yourself. And the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart. And he said, what do you think you can do anyway? Who do you think you are that you can effect change in these impossible situations with your just words or your Facebook posts? Here's the reality. The only way you're going to affect change in the areas of your of where you see, and God may actually be calling you to affect change in those areas. He said, is you're going to have to do that through me. And this awareness came into my heart. I thought, how much pride do I have to think that as this human being trapped in a body on earth, apart from God, what can I do? I'm a steelworker's son. And that's nothing wrong with that, but I wasn't raised with the, you know, with the plan and in the schools and to go to an Ivy League university. And by the way, they wouldn't have taken me no matter what school I went to. Hey, listen, if it wasn't for me, those of you in the top half wouldn't be there. People like me made the top half of the class possible. I'm in the top 10%. Not without me, you're not. You stand on my shoulders. Come on, baby. Come on, those of you that are in the bottom half. That's right, baby. You stand on our shoulders and be careful. Without us, you're nothing. And I began to ask some simple questions of myself in that time, just praying myself. So what pride must it take that when the God of all the universe said that I will live in you, I will abide in you, greater is he, John, that's in you than he that's in the world. And you're going to find another method to address the issues of concern in your life. It's equivalency of having 40 acres of warehouses full of dynamite to blow up a problem and running around with a cap gun that has nothing but noise. And what I'm seeing God's people trapped in is the cap gun. And they put their cap gun on Facebook and Instagram and whatever book they can find. And they see how many caps go pop, 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 pop. Those are called likes. Pop, pop, pop. And they're also called opinions. Pop, 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 pop. And then there's arguments. Pop, 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 pop. And we just shoot, pop, 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 make a bunch of noise. And nothing gets better. You, by the way, don't get better either. And the Holy Spirit was dealing with me of the trap of God's people. And it really is a pride trap. Who do I think I am that I can affect change? Certainly doing it from the position of a kingdom that I've been delivered from. You see, when you broke the vow of the Nazarite, you had to do something immediately. If you broke your vow, you shaved your head. It was an act of humility. It was an act of recognition and repentance that I was committed to this and I didn't do it. Instead of justifying it, you would shave your head. Then you would take an offering, go offer an offering, repent of that failure, and then God would begin to move through you and your hair would grow back and you would be restored. But today, just like Samson, which I want to show you, God's people are not, if you will, shaving their head and repenting and turning from this ungodliness. They're doubling down. And it's a trap. Please understand, I'm not pointing a finger at anybody. Again, your issue may be 100% valid. But how are you going to win that issue? How are you going to fight that issue? Samson continually broke his vows, but he never had a consequence, so he thought there was no big deal. And he was lulled to sleep into a place to where it cost him everything. And I want you to grasp this. Sowing and reaping doesn't happen overnight. Samson broke his vow again and again and again. In fact, one time he took the jawbone of a dead animal, which he wasn't allowed to touch, and used it as a weapon to kill thousands of his enemies. They had weapons, and he took the jawbone of a donkey and defeated his enemy. He was holding in his hand what was forbidden, and yet God still, by his mercy, didn't remove his hand from his life. Let me show you, just early on in his life, Judges chapter 14, verse 8 and 9. I want you to notice what happened to Samson, which I see happening to God's people today. And I don't want the outcome for you. In fact, let me say it this way. I pray for you, and I pray for you. I don't mean, oh, hey, pray for me, and it doesn't mean anything. I am praying for every person under my care as a pastor. I include me in the prayer. Because I am so desperately concerned that we, like Samson, are on a path And we don't know where it's going to take us because we have exchanged the righteousness of God for the righteousness of our cause. And that's called legalism in law. That's why Paul said, being found only in Christ, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, which is telling you right and wrong. Even though you might be right, you can be wrong. When you make your position your righteousness and others are worse, you've stepped into the realm of a Pharisee and it's deadly. In Judges 14, verse 8 and 9, sometime later, Samson went back to Mary, and I don't have time to go into the context. And I want you to listen to this statement. And he turned aside to look at the lion's dead body. He's forbidden to come near it or touch it, but he gave it his attention. It's a temptation of every person on the earth to turn aside from what you know God has for you and to begin to entertain the dead body. In it, as he got closer, was a swarm of bees with some honey, which he scooped out with his hands, and he ate it as he went along. When he rejoined his parents, he gave them some. They too ate it. But he didn't tell them that he had taken the honey from the lion's dead body. Eating honey out of a dead carcass. Samson was literally trying to find life inside of death. In God's people, the trap is the same today. Trying to be righteous in their cause in the carcass of death. And it's a very dangerous thing. And this is even the greater danger that I grieve for. Whether you're at the Cranberry campus, Newcastle, online, please hear my heart. Samson then did something that we are doing whether we want to or not. He gave the honey that came out of death to his family. And I want you to get this. They didn't know it. He knew it. They didn't. And if there's anything on this planet you don't want to feed to those around you, it's death. And I don't care how sweet it tastes, it's still in the carcass of death. And Samson did this, and he didn't. His family didn't know it. And finally, he's about to reap his reward of time and time and time again. Finally, he's so void of following God because he still sees God's favor and God's kindness and mercy in his life. And the power of God. If you know the story of Samson, he was endued with supernatural power, physical power. Like he would have been one of the Avengers. I'm telling you, that kind of power. And yet, time and time again, he ignored God. And then sowing and reaping happened. And this isn't God harming Samson. This is Samson harming Samson. And finally, he joins a relationship with a woman named Delilah, who served false gods. And he gave his full heart to her. He gave his passion to her sexually. And they were together constantly, sexually. And he began to be connected to her soul. And time again, Delilah would ask him, where's the source of your strength? And he didn't tell her the truth. And then she would try to do what he said to see if his strength would leave. And he didn't even know the difference. And finally, the Bible said she pressed on him so hard with her words to find out where the source of his strength was, said he almost died. That's where we get the word nag to death. Come on, that's funny. I don't care who you are. That's funny right there, yeah. And that works for both men and women. I'm being politically correct right there. Come on, say, yeah, thank you, Jesus. Men can nag too. It's a fact. And finally, he was so overwhelmed by this relationship, he told her that if my head is shaved, that's why he never shaved his head, because he would have lost his strength. He wasn't willing to lose his strength in himself, if you will, and let it grow back in God. He just wanted to keep it. My head shaved, I'll be like any other man. And he put his head in her lap, and he fell asleep. And I'm telling you, God's people today, their head is in the lap of Delilah. And they're asleep. And she shaved his head. And she called for his enemy, the Philistines, of which he was called and his purpose was to bring freedom to Israel from their enemy. And they came in. And the saddest statement in the Bible is this to me. One of the saddest in the Bible is this. It's that Samson got up from that place And he didn't know that God's power had departed from him. He was so unaware and so lulled asleep, he didn't even know the power of God had left him. And here was his reward. They took him and they made him a slave. They took hot sticks and burned and gouged his eyeballs out. And they made him a beast to go and grind grain like you would with a donkey in a circle. And that's how he was spending the rest of his life. And he became a laughingstock among the Philistines. And I want you to see the parallel today. Is that when we get caught up in the spirit of this world, which is set afire of hell, and Jesus said, Satan's desire is to steal, to kill, and destroy. It can feel right. I promise you, it felt right to Samson when he was with Delilah physically. Because that feels good. It felt good to have power. But it didn't feel good when the consequence came. And the very thing, you'll hear us say over and over again, this church exists to help all people realize, all people realize, all people realize, not who I disagree with or agree with. All people realize God loves them unconditionally. It's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. Then we say over and over again these four things that if we want you to come to know God intimately, to see him for who he is, to find freedom in your life from making your past, to discover the purpose of your life and then to make an impact with your life. And I want you to see that the result of Samson and his decisions took those very things away. The first thing they did was take his ability to see. And what the enemy is doing to God's people is blinding them with rage. Blinding them with their righteous indignation. Blinding them with their righteous cause. And he's gouging out your eyes to be able to see who the Father is in you. He's gouging out our eyes to be able to see the love of God that rescued me. And then they made him a slave. We said, we exist to help you know God, then find freedom. What's the opposite of freedom? Slavery. And you think you're affecting a cause. You think that you're making a change, but you're actually not. You're creating more bondage. And not just for the people you think you're going to help, if you're even trying to help anybody. You're putting yourself in the same prison. And then the purpose of his life was to defeat an enemy. And instead of that strength being used to defeat an enemy, his natural human strength was made now to grind grain for his enemy's purpose. When you live in the system of the world and lay your head in our heads in the lap of Delilah, we will end up using all of our attention and energy for a purpose that you aren't even called to. And it may feel right, but I'm helping you to see the reason traps are traps is because we can't see them. And I'm praying that God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, will open all of our eyes because there's a desperate purpose on the other side of your life for people that don't know Christ. And the only hope of the world, listen, this is not hyperbole. The only hope of the world is Jesus and his people. It's the only hope. That's it. There is no other hope in this world. There never has been. And if there's ever been a time in the history of our nation, certainly in my lifetime, that it's been more relevant and more real and more clear that the only hope of this world is the gospel that liberates men and women from death into life. And a people that have been rescued from death into life going back out into the very place where they've been rescued and rescuing others. That's your purpose. Can I suggest to you that any purpose that is higher than that in your soul, that your soul has been desperately polluted. I don't care how right you think you are. Blood was spilled for this, the blood of a Savior. That's your purpose. Doesn't mean you can't have other issues and things that you address with your life, but you can't leave the kingdom of God to go into that other kingdom with your behaviors and actions and intentions and think you're going to affect change. You're not. We will be as deceived as Samson was. When we mix two kingdoms together, we're going to have the very same result. That's why Jesus commanded us to seek first the kingdom of God. Don't mix the two. If you have a relationship with God, a devotional life, if you'll just learn to pray, and that's why we have a prayer devotional available for you, so you can learn to have a prayer life. God will begin to speak things to your heart to bring light and understanding to help you, because all of us live in a world that we can be blinded. I'm no different than you are. But oh, the mercy and kindness of God. This is why it's critical that you are a part of a local church. It's why it's critical that you are connected and, I mean, planted and thriving and growing roots in a local church. Because God, one of the ways he brings freedom to us is through the collection of his body. Both small groups, weekend services. You weren't designed to do this on your own. The Holy Spirit spoke something so real in my heart. And this is so real for all of us. He said to me, John, you will either shave your own head or the enemy will shave it for you. You will either humble yourself before me and shave your own head and come to me and say, Father, forgive me. I whether I meant to do it or didn't is irrelevant. This isn't the way of the kingdom. Forgive me. And then he restores you. Because I promise you, like Samson, either I will shave my head as a person, and that represents repentance, which simply means to turn away from, or the consequences will shave it for me. And the consequences are brutal. And they're not just brutal for you. The Bible said that when bitterness gets in you, the root of bitterness will root in you and it will spring up in you and defile many. Everyone and everything you love will be polluted by what you think is righteousness. What a trap. No animal goes into a trap when it's obvious. The trap has to be hidden. But aren't you glad that the greater one lives on the inside of you? That he said, I'll show you things to come. I'll open the eyes of your understanding. I'll enlighten you to who you are in Christ. That's a relationship with the Father. And God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, is desirous to do that right now in the lives of his people, right now, here in Cranberry, in Newcastle, online. If you're watching this later, God's timeless, and his desire for freedom in our lives so that we can live the life we were meant to live is timeless. Oh, the love and mercy of God. And lastly, it's this. The most really important part is the way out. There is a way out. It's so important to understand, remember this, that God is a God of restoration. God doesn't believe in cancel culture. Can I tell you that if anybody could be canceled because of a holy God, we'd all be shot. This world is such a contradiction of itself. Everything should be tolerant, but if you don't agree with me, we'll cancel you forever. Or if you actually make a mistake, because no one's ever made those, right? And people weaponize our failures and they shame people because that's what the God of this world does. And they're only doing what they see their Father do. But we are to do what we see our Father do. Ephesians 5 said we are to, as God's dear children, to walk in love and imitate him. The same love we've received freely, we freely give. But there's something about the life of Samson that even in the midst of unimaginable heartache, can you imagine where he came to where he fell? Being derided and just abused constantly. He's blind. They're spitting on him. A child could beat him. And yet in his death, something amazing happened. In spite of it all, his hair grew back. And he realized that God was wanting to use him for one last time. And he prayed, Lord, please, please let my purpose come. Please bring back my purpose. He didn't even pray for his eyesight. He didn't pray to be free. He longed for what every person I've ever met on their deathbed and spoken to on their deathbed ever longed for, that they lived their life for the reason they were put on the planet. Nothing else mattered. That they brought life to those that they were meant to be, bring life to. And where they haven't, their hearts are devastated and they want, somehow can I go back? He said, God, avenge this of me. And if you know the story, they were in this Colosseum with pillars and he somehow convinced this group to put him between the two pillars. And the power of God came on him. He knocked the pillars down with unimaginable strength that doesn't come from a human. And he killed more Philistines in his death than he did in his life. And it moved God's people toward the beginnings of freedom. Now that's the restoration of God. And the story of his life tells me this. I don't have to stay trapped. You don't have to stay trapped. The story of his life tells me two things. One, it's an example because I can see the outcome of that trap and that deception. But then secondly, it's an encouragement. That even if there are some consequences that you can't fix, and sometimes relationally, some things just, you can't go back. God said, I can restore it. There may be some things that seem impossible, but not with me. There may be consequences that I can't undo and unpack for you, but I will make your life and the purpose of your life, you'll finish well. And instead of seeing God's people finish well, I'm seeing them just being finished. And it's desperately grieving my heart. And I know it grieves the heart of the Father because He wants people to live in freedom. Then our final moments together, I want to take you to what Jesus said would occur in the last days. On every Thursday, I meet together at 9 o'clock with our staff and leaders, and we all come in this room and we pray, and we get before God and pray. And then right after that, about 10, 20 or so to the noon hour, I meet together with our leaders, our pastors and those leading departments, and we spend another amount of time. We talk somewhat about what God's putting in our hearts, and then we pray. And it's so amazing to me that in that time, what God will just do, just through prayer, it's a weapon. It is a weapon you're called to. And it matters. It is bringing the supply of the Spirit of God to a broken earth. It's stepping back in humility and saying, this is how I make a difference. And then obeying God in the context of His love and His mercy. But Jesus gave us a warning about the last days. This past Thursday, Pastor Steve was just sharing something out of his heart. When he did, it just came up in my heart. Mentioned that this weekend. And so let me read you out of Matthew 24, verse 12. This is Jesus' warning for the last days. And if you're wondering if we're in the last days, I kind of think we are. Just if you read the Bible. And here's what Jesus said would occur in the last days. He said there will be such an increase of sin and lawlessness. How many of you think that might be the case? There are things that exist today that 20 years ago nobody would have believed. And they're not only embraced. See, sin is what's wrong. Lawlessness is when you embrace what's wrong. And we have a culture that is basically formed in a reprobate mind. That not only doesn't distinguish between right and wrong, it celebrates what God calls evil. And He said, in the last days this will happen. There'll be such an increase in sin and lawlessness that something's going to happen to my people if they're not wise. That those, now listen, whose heart once burned with passion for God and others will grow cold. It's happening right now to God's people. There's so much sin and lawlessness that instead of approaching it from God's way, and you'll see what Jesus said to do, that our hearts get connected to the sin and the lawlessness in that we are so whatevered by it. That something happens to your heart that once burned with a passion for God. It will grow cold. It said not just for a passion for God, but a passion for people. And people that God called you to lay down your life for are now considered your enemy. You have no enemies as a Christian. You only have a mission field. Because the darkness that may disgust you is the very same darkness that you were rescued out of. The pride that fills so easily fill my heart and yours. Like somehow I rescued myself. The only difference between me and someone trapped in the dark is Jesus. That's it. And I'm no better than anybody. And if anything, it should make me so merciful that by His kindness He rescued me. Let me go on reading what Jesus said. There'll be such an increase of sin and lawlessness that those whose hearts once burned with passion for God and others will grow cold. But keep your hope or expectation toward God to the end, and you will experience two things, life and deliverance. Life and deliverance. Say it out loud, life and deliverance. Do you understand that as Samson was called to rescue God's people from the enemy, it may be the very thing that has trapped you is the very thing God wants you to bring into the kingdom of God and serve people from His heart to bring not just life and freedom for you, but life and deliverance for the very people, the very issues that are affecting people that you may desire to see changed. In verse 14, he said, yet through it all, when this is all happening, There's going to be a group of people that aren't going to get bought into it. Listen to what he said. Yet through it all, the gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed all over the world. You did that in 2020, Victory. Newcastle, you did that in 2020. You did that. You gave over $2.2 million in the year of a pandemic and said, we're going to proclaim the gospel. I don't care if the world's burning down. We will not step away from the call of God on our lives as Christians. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your obedience. It matters, man. It matters. Through it all, he said, the gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed all over the world, providing with every nation. Now listen, here's your call. The privilege of this call. Listen, providing every nation with this, a demonstration of the reality of God. That's what you are to be. A demonstration, not of an opinion, not of a cause, but of the reality of God in a broken world. And then he said, after this, the end of the age will come. And like Samson, so many of us are being trapped, eating honey out of a dead carcass. And if we're going to affect any eternal change in the lives of people, what do you mean by eternal change? Can I suggest to you that if everybody holds to your perspective, whether you're right or wrong, assume you're right, and they still die without Christ and go to hell, what change did you make beyond the short few years that you live on the earth? We are called to plunder hell and populate heaven. You want to get somebody out of a perspective that's anti-God? Then lead them to Christ. Live your life as being what he said, a demonstration of reality with God. And yet most of God's people are a demonstration of how the world is addressing all the issues. And we've got our head nestled into the lap of Delilah. And we're eating honey out of a carcass. And we're rotting inside and our hearts are growing cold. Remember this, repentance is me moving toward God, not getting God to move toward me. This isn't a message of this is bad, I'm a bad person. No, it's just the opposite. It's a message of rescue. God knows, the scripture said, our frame, that we live in bodies that will turn to dust. That this body is weak. I get that. The flesh is weak, Jesus said. The spirit is willing. Nobody wants to get trapped on purpose. Nobody certainly wants their children to inherit their trap. We want our children to inherit good things. And if I would tell you that you said, what do you and Michelle wish, if there was anything you could inherit in the earth, what would it be? It isn't money. It isn't stuff. The Bible said, claim the heathen, that's those without Christ, for your inheritance. There are two things that I claim for my inheritance that I want to, that God, I want given to me from your hand, is those that don't know you to come to know you, and those that do know you to grow up into Christ so that they can reflect the love that they've received to others. And so if we're not careful, we're going to actually give an opposite inheritance to our children. We're either going to do, as the scripture said, demonstrate the reality of God, or just good intentions out of a dead body in the lap of Delilah to a people in a world without Christ. And like Samson, every last one of us, I don't care if you've known Jesus for a week or 50 years, if you're walking closely to God or you're not, if you've been taken out of darkness into light, every last one of us had the same call that Samson had, to bring deliverance to our world, but not through methods of the world, but through the gospel, which is the power of God to salvation. It is the only answer to bring people from darkness to light, not a change of opinion. And I'm pleading with you from the depths of my heart that freely you have received, freely give. Now, here's what God can't do for me. He can't make me shave my own head. He can't make me recognize and turn. He can't make me say, now that I see the trap, I'll step out of it. I have to choose to do that. And I know as we come to the end of our time today, that God, the Holy Spirit, is going to come. And he's going to literally, from on the inside of you, the greater one will enable you to take those steps, no matter how trapped you may feel. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 7, I'm just going to read it to you, because I want you to see the heart of God, what he's done for you, what he's done for me, and then what he's called us to be for others. When you see this, my prayer is that you get a vision for what it means to be rescued. And then to be a rescuer. Let's not be lulled to sleep like Samson. Ephesians 2 verse 1. Listen to these words. They're true. They're true. He said, in his fullness of Jesus, his fullness fills you now. Say, I'm filled now with God. Man. Then listen to these words. Even though you were once like corpses, dead in your sins and offenses. Can I explain to you that dead is dead? There are no degrees of dead. If you go to the funeral home and there are 10 bodies in the funeral home, they're all the same dead. Everybody without Christ is dead. Everybody on this planet that dies without him is dead spiritually. Will spend an eternity in the regions of the damned unless they receive the salvation that comes through a Savior. And the only hope that they have to hear it and the reality of this goodness is from you and from me. Let's not change that. Let's not exchange that. We were once dead like corpses, dead in our sins and offenses. It wasn't that long ago that you lived in the religion, customs, and values of this world. Listen, obeying the dark ruler of the earthly realm who fills the atmosphere with his authority. And he works diligently in the hearts of those who are disobedient to the truth. He said, it wasn't that long ago that you had adopted the values of this world which come from obeying the dark ruler. Satan is the God of this world, Jesus said. And I want you to get what he said. Jesus, the scripture in God's word tells us this. Satan works diligently in the hearts of those to make them disobedient to the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Not just for unbelievers, but for believers. He works diligently to trap you outside of the truth of God. But Jesus said, I will make you to know the truth, and the truth that you accept, believe, and act upon will make you free. Verse 3 said, the corruption that was in us from birth was expressed through the deeds and desires of our self-life. We lived by whatever natural cravings and thoughts our minds dictated, living as rebellious children subject to God's wrath like everyone else. Verse 4, but God. Say it out loud, but God. Two of the most powerful words in the Bible. Out of everything he just said, he stopped. He said, but God. No matter how rebellious, whether you are God's enemy, you made God your enemy, you cursed him, you used every foul word every day, 24 hours a day, you stayed up at night, you took speed to stay up to curse him. He said, for you too, but God, but God. This is a time when our nation needs to hear from his people, but God. Not but my opinion, not but my issue, because that's the trap. But God still loved us with such great love. He is so rich and abundant in compassion and in mercy. Even when we were dead, doomed in our many sins, he united us into the very life of Christ and saved us by his wonderful grace. Listen what else he did. He raised us up. Imagine this. He raises us up with Christ, the exalted one. And we ascended with Jesus into the glorious perfection and authority of the heavenly realm. For we are now co-seated as one with Christ. Did you ever see somebody in a chair and there aren't enough seats? And you said, could you move over so I could share the seat with you? Do you know who you never do that with? A stranger. Because you'll creep them out. Do you know the Bible said he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit? There's room in that seat for you because you're in him. He said, I didn't just wipe away your sin debt. I raised you up together with me. I made you accepted in the beloved. I gave you my righteousness for your sin. And I'm seated at the right hand of the majesty on high in all authority and all power. And you are seated together with me. Far above, the Bible said, all principality, power, might, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but the world to come. That's the power source in you right now. How can we walk away from that kind of power and be lulled into the lap of Delilah to fight with a cap gun? Boy, the enemy's subtle, isn't he? It's so easy to happen to all of us. Verse 7, this is amazing. Throughout the coming ages, listen now. This is what he wants you to be. We will be the visible display of the infinite, limitless riches of his kindness and grace, which he showered upon us in Jesus Christ. We are to be the reality of God in the earth, the visible image of the goodness of God. Freely we have received, freely we give. When you look up in the night sky, when it's clear in Pittsburgh all 7 days of a year. Did that bitterness come out a little bit? I'm sorry. It just came up. I'm sorry. And there's a full moon and you look at the moon. If you don't know what's going on, you would think the moon has its own source of light. That the moon is its, like the sun is its own source of light. But it's not. The moon, because of its position, is getting hit by the sun. But we're in the dark and we see the light of the sun on the moon. The moon is nothing but reflected light. That's what you are. You are reflected light. Without Christ, I only live in darkness. Without Him, I'm dead in my sin and trespass. But God, who is rich in mercy with His love that He loved me with, Christ died for me when I was His enemy. When I was His enemy. And He said, freely you've received. Now treat people the same way. Because I need you to be the visible representation of the love of God for people that don't deserve to be loved. And today people are getting everything but from God's people. God is doing something great in the earth by the power of His Spirit. And He doesn't want you sidelined like Samson, grinding at the world's mill, grinding out grain for them to trap you and everyone else in it. That we exchange the truth of God for a lie. You were made to be great in your life in Christ. You were made to go into the darkness and bring light. Darkness is nothing in the presence of light. Nothing. It's not co-equal. It runs. You turn the light on. Not little pieces of darkness stay in the room. It all leaves. You are in the light as He is in the light. And the Bible said the blood of Christ cleanses you from all sin. He that says he abides in Christ, the Bible said, Scripture says, we ourselves ought to walk even as Jesus walked. He said, be good to those who hate you. Be kind to those who persecute you. So that you might act like the children of your God, not the children of this earth. He said, because your God, your Father, He lets His rain fall on both the just and the unjust. We that have received mercy must be about giving mercy. Must be about rescuing people. What about my issue? In the face of the Savior, what are you going to do other than ruin your life and your family? Let me pray for you today. Because this trap is so prevalent and it doesn't have to stay that way. But before I pray over this issue, I want to make certain that every person under the sound of my voice, Newcastle, listen to me, online, listen to me. I would typically at this point say every head bowed, every eye closed, but we are no longer in head bowed, eye closed time. Everything's wide open. Everything's wide open. I want to give you an opportunity right now to give your life to the one who gave His life for you. To openly say that I need a Savior. I believe Jesus is the Son of God. He died on the cross for my sins, was buried, conquered death, rose from the grave, and gives me eternal life when I receive Him and makes me, when I make Him the Lord and Savior of my life. And I become one with Him. His righteousness becomes mine. He takes my sin. What a great exchange. I want to encourage every one of you, wherever you're watching, Newcastle, listen. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to say, I want Jesus, simply by saying, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand and then do it. Now, I'm not going to make you get up and do like a dance or anything. I'm not going to embarrass you. But I want you to be bold. Jesus said this. He said, if you will acknowledge me before my Father, before men, I will acknowledge you before my Father. I want you to start out in your walk with God being bold and saying, that's who I represent. That's who I'm with. He is my God and I am not. So if you're here today and you've never given your life to Jesus, I didn't ask you if you're religious or a good person. That's wonderful. But none of that makes heaven. I have a sacrament in my church. Wonderful. You don't go to heaven because of those. No church, no sacrament, no pastor, no priest, no pope, no religious leader, including anything in this church, can make you right with God. Only a Savior and only opening your life and heart to Him. And if you've never done that or you're not sure, right now the Holy Spirit Himself, God, the Holy Spirit is pulling on your heart saying, come to the Father by Jesus. And you get to choose to say yes to God or no. To receive a Savior or reject Him. To die in His righteousness or in your sins. To receive the penalty payment that He made or pay for it yourself after death. There's only two options. That's why Jesus said without unequivocally, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father through me. Only He paid the price. And we die in our sin and pay for it eternally, or we receive a free payment by the mercy of God. So if you're here and you say, I want to receive Christ into my life. I want to know that I've passed from death to life, that heaven will be my eternal home. Right where you're at, Newcastle, right where you're at, online, if you're on by yourself, do it anyway. Right now, just say, I want to receive Jesus. Would you lift your hand where I can see it? Come on, do it right now. Do it right now. Lift your hand right now. Come on, give them a hand. God bless you. Come on, lift your hand before God. Say, I'm walking in freedom. I'm walking in freedom. I'm making Jesus the Lord of my life. Incredible, incredible. Great decision. Best decision you ever made in your life. Let me pray over you, and we're going to pray together with you. Everyone, Newcastle, the whole congregation is going to pray with you. Cranberry, the whole congregation is going to pray it out loud with you. If you're alone, sorry, just listen along. But we're with you. Pray this out loud when you hear it with your own ears. Pray it out loud. You're not about to, this isn't some dead religious prayer. You're asking the living Christ to come, and he turns no one away. You're about to pass from death to life. Incredible, incredible. Pray it out loud where you hear it. Say, Heavenly Father, I have sinned. I have fallen short of your glory. I cannot make my way back. I cannot redeem myself. Jesus, you died for me. You came to the earth to bear my penalty. And you died on a cross for me. You bore my sin penalty. You then died. You conquered death. You rose from the grave. And you offer eternal life to me. So in the name of Jesus, I receive you now to be the Savior and Lord of my life. Thank you for coming. Thank you for coming. I am now a child of God. My sin debt is canceled. And when I die, I am heaven bound because Jesus is the Lord of my life. Amen. Amen. Give them a hand. Best decision of your life. Would you all stand together with me? Newcastle, we're going to turn you over to Pastor John Owens, and he's going to just share with you how to take this next step of repentance, because the Holy Spirit's moving mightily in Newcastle. Say goodbye to Newcastle. Come on, we love them. We love you guys so much. Praise God. I want you to just, this is so much a part of the service. This isn't the end. Oh, get out. No. Listen, God is, this is the whole purpose, where God wants to do something in your soul right now. As you have the opportunity, as we worship, as you hear these words of this song, begin to get your heart prepared to make a decision toward God, to step out of the trap if you're one of those that are in it. Let's worship God together. Come on, let's worship Him. Father, I thank you for your presence. I thank you for the greater one that abides on the inside of your people. Holy Spirit, I thank you now for doing a work in our hearts. As the word declares, that you fall into the ditch with us in life. You don't wait for us to crawl out on our own. You fall into the darkest, most deep and broken places of our life because you want to rescue us. Your word declares you want to come into that place and take hold together with us against that which is destroying our hearts and our lives. Father, I thank you for your kindness to reveal a trap so that we don't have to follow the way of Samson. But we can truly be what you called us to be, a demonstration of the reality of God in the earth. Reflected light, a visible display of the love of God, the kindness of God, the goodness of God, the infinite, limitless riches of your grace and kindness that you showered us in Christ. So in this case, I will ask you, just bow your heads and close your eyes. In this moment, this is an opportunity for you to step out of a trap or to just stay in it because of willfulness, because God is moving supernaturally to separate you from a trap, to bring you into life and deliverance and freedom so that your purpose doesn't get like Samson's, grinding out the grain of the world instead of the kingdom. If you're one of those many, and I believe it's over 50% of God's people, that you find yourself in that place because of what's going on, like Jesus said, because of the increase of sin and lawlessness, a heart that once was burning with passion for God is now not there. It's growing cold. A passion for God and people, it's getting cold. And you want to turn from that. You want to shave your head, as it were, instead of waiting for the circumstance and the consequence to shave it for you. And you want to, by faith, turn, which that's all repentance means. It doesn't mean you're bad. It means you're wise and you turn and you step out of that trap by faith, by the power of God, and trust Him for His grace to keep you. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, right where you're at, this is between you and God, but it's important that you acknowledge it in humility. This, when a moment I ask you to raise your hand, it's the same as shaving your head. Now, in this case, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, but in that day, everybody saw it. But they were more concerned about restoration and the purpose of God than if anyone saw their shame, if you will, and their nakedness. But I want you, in a moment, when I ask you if you desire to walk free from that, to simply, as an act of raising your hand, will be to say, I'm repenting, I'm turning from that, I'm shaving my own head. And God, I thank you that I bring the sacrifice of my life before you. Thank you for restoring my soul. And all that may have been broken, you are fully restoring, full of life, full of freedom, full of deliverance. Thank you for that. Now, if you're in that place, like so many are today, and you want freedom and you want to turn from it, just right where you're at, just lift your hand up high and then put it right back down. And you are not alone. Thank you. You can just go ahead and put your hands down. Let me pray over you. And then I'm going to ask you to say something out of your mouth. And I'm going to ask everybody in the church, whether you raised your hand or not, that you would repeat it with him and confess out of your mouth what you believe. But let me pray for you first. Father, I thank you for your kindness and your grace. I thank you that you don't ignore the intimacies of our life. We matter that much to you. The enemy has set up a trap for your people. And by the kindness of your heart and the power of your spirit, you moved in this place today to rescue us from the trap so that we truly can live in peace, so we truly can live and experience life and deliverance through our lives and in our lives, so that we can truly demonstrate the reality of our God, that we would be your visible display in the earth. So in the name of Jesus, Father, I ask you to forgive me. Forgive us for laying in the lap of Delilah or eating honey out of a dead carcass, thinking that the cap gun was greater than the greater one that lives on the inside of us. The maker of heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, abides in us. He's the greater one. Nothing is impossible with him. And we will give ourselves over to the kingdom of God, in the manner in which to address any issue, which is to serve people bound in the very issue and take them from darkness into light. So, Father, forgive us. We turn from that. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, say this out loud with me. Say, in the name of Jesus, I refuse to turn from the kingdom into the kingdom of darkness. I refuse to live my life from the hand of an enemy, but I will walk with my God who loves me. He gave himself for me. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I still live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. In the life I now live in my body, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And so I make a decision today to turn from my ways and to love as he loved, to forgive as I've been forgiven, to rescue as I've been rescued. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Come on, thank God for the freedom that belongs to us in Christ. Thank you, Father. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So good. You can be seated. Ushers are going to dismiss us in just a moment. But today is water baptism weekend. And I'm so excited for those being water baptized. I just want to take, it's literally a 50-second just testimony of a family that got water baptized. It's so touching. And for many of you, I hope it helps you take a next step today, even beyond those who have prepared to be water baptized. Take a quick look at this, then I want to share something with you, and we're going to be dismissed in prayer.
The importance of water baptism to our family is that public display. There's been so much through our faith that has been given to us, so many blessings that have came into our life as a result of coming here to Victory and finding Jesus, and that public display was important for us as a family to do together. to take your walk in faith, the first thing that you have to do is start walking, right? To start taking the steps. And from the aspect of water baptism, that's an important step in somebody's walk in faith. And so take the action. And on the other side of that, you find that peace and that deeper connection with your faith that everybody is searching for.
And what a great story. Isn't that awesome, man? I want to encourage every one of you that since you've given your life to Christ, if you've never been water baptized and you're not signed up already, you can do that today. Maybe you want to do what Brian did, is if your family, if you know they've given their life to Jesus and they haven't been water baptized, gather them up, go do it right now. He said, well, we'll be wet and it's cold. We have clothes to change, you can change into, changing places, everything dry that you need to go home with, you'll be fine. But I want to encourage every one of you to make that next step and be water baptized. In a moment, we're going to be dismissed in prayer. But before we do, let me encourage every one of you, as our prayer partners are coming forward. If you prayed with me today to receive Jesus as the Lord of your life, please don't leave without coming and telling a prayer partner. Come and meet with a prayer partner. Say, I prayed with Pastor John. We want to help you take some next steps in your walk with God. Prayer partners will be here for them and anyone else who has needs. The healing room is there available. Those ready to pray for you. If you need healing in your body, who have spent time in God's word and prayer, to pray for you and trust God for his healing power in your life. So grateful for what God's doing. I'm so grateful for what he's doing in our life. And so the ushers in a moment are going to dismiss us by row as we try our best to follow the protocols. And I'm going to close you in prayer. Thank you so much for following God. Thank you so much for taking next steps in him. This world is desperate for our obedience. Father, I thank you for these precious people. Thank you for the honor to pastor such an amazing group of people. We are so honored that you rescued us. Lord, I thank you for freedom, that you truly do love us. You truly do want us to know you, to find freedom, to discover our reason and purpose for being on the earth, and then make an impact that lasts forever, that lasts for time and eternity. So, Father, I speak blessings over your people and freedom over your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless y'all. Have a great week. I love you.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from Victory Family Church. If you enjoyed listening, please take a moment to rate, review, and share. For more resources, including locations and service times, please visit lifeatvictory.com.